Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in to the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls all the way live from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. Whew, everything tastes better out of the investor's mug, and it makes reading financial reports oh so easy. Don't forget to look down in the description box to grab your copy if you want to read financial reports with a breeze. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, I'm tuning in today to, we're going to have a pretty good episode. This is going to be a fishing episode. We're going to talk about Southwest Airlines repaying $1.7 billion, and what does that mean to the industry? Apple cuts ties with Intel. What does that mean to the industry? Also, pending home sales drop. What does that mean to investors? So as an investor, I always teach you guys and girls how to fish. And so many times we get caught up with reading headlines, going by what he said and she said and what we heard and what we thought was going on. And nobody really teaches you how to get the information. Today, we're going to look, we're going to analyze, we're going to read the information, and we're going to interpret the information to the best of our knowledge. This is a skill that I did not have starting out as an investor. I really relied upon what I heard, what somebody told me, what I thought, what I saw in the media, what I saw on a blog. I would just read the headlines and just be like, oh, okay, cool, right? Didn't even look inside of it. Didn't see where the information was coming from, all of the great stuff. So in today's episode, you know, I'm going to teach you guys and girls how to fish, and I'm going to talk exactly what that means, all right? So the first thing is up, ladies and gentlemen. Southwest Airlines repays $1.7 billion in debt to Wells Fargo / Goldman Sachs. Now, what does that mean? Sorry about that for the people catching audio. My voice kind of cracked up there a little bit. But what does that mean? When you are following a stock or when you're following a company, when you're following an investment, it should tell you a story. Now, you're probably looking at this and saying, I haven't heard of this. I haven't seen it dominate the headlines or anything like that. The reason why that happens is because I'm going to show you guys and girls how to fish, how to get updated information from the company as they are releasing it. I wish it probably is a way out there, but I don't have a way right now to where, let's say if I'm following Southwest, Delta, Disney, Coca-Cola, whatever company is, whatever that company files with the SEC, I would like to get a notification. I wonder if something out there like that. It probably is, because that's the rawest of the data. Because what's happening is when you read it on CNBC, Yahoo Finance, Market Watch, wherever you get your news from, you're reading it secondhand. And what I mean by you're reading it secondhand, you're reading it from the you're reading filtered information. Somebody has went on to the SEC website, got the press release, they read it, they took out what was important, and now they're filtering it to you, which is fine. But I want to show you guys and girls how to fish and how to get raw data, because they're only going to report what they think is relevant or important. If it's not relevant or important, or they think it's not going to grab headlines, they don't report on it. So I'm going to show you guys and girls how to stay current and constant with your particular company or investment that you're looking for. All right. So we're going to first pull that up. But let's, if you are catching this live, let's say David Robinson said, thanks. What's going on, David? Thank you for tuning in. If you're catching this live on Facebook, definitely thank you for tuning in. We're going to be doing a premiere on YouTube. You know, I'm still on parole over there on YouTube. We're going to do a premiere and, of course, a podcast across the globe. So, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing I'm going to do, I am going to share my screen, right? I'm going to look up my screen here, and I'm going to pull up the SEC documents for, hopefully I'll get the right one here. Nope. All right. Is it? Yeah, Southwest Airlines, right? So Southwest Airlines, this is an SEC 8K report. This came out last week, June 11th. I think June 11th was last week. I think it was somewhere a little bit more than a week ago or something like that. So anyway, when we look at the reports or whatever, we're going to look at the 8K and we're going to be able to see this. This is 8K is anything that is big news in the company, they're going to put it out. So why haven't you seen about this, right? When you go down here, boom, it's telling you right here. I wrote down the highlights of this, but this is the SEC report that I want you guys and girls to see. Anybody can get from the free website, sec.gov. That's a government website. That's why it's a .gov. All companies, when a company does anything major, quarterly reports, earnings, anything like that, Yes, they put it up on the company website, but they must report it to the SEC. And when they report it to the SEC, you as an investor, this is how you can follow along and see what's going on with the company. So on June 8th, Southwest Airlines, they issue $1.8 billion of debt securities, right, at a 4.75% interest rate due on 2023. And they also issued $500 million debt as well. Now, pretty much, and they got a $1.3 billion debt that they issued to Wells Fargo. Why am I saying this? They terminated and they repaid the deal, right? Effective June 11th, they wrote it right here. Effective June 11th, they repaid and terminated the amended calls of a 364-day credit amendment dated, right? So also with them terminating this and repaying this, the company, in order to get this debt, they gave up 148 airlines as collateral. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not me saying it. Here it is. They're telling you 148 company aircrafts were released as collateral, which added $4.5 billion to the current company's aircraft pool, unaccompanied aircraft pool. I can't even say that word. But, you know, it's pretty much aircrafts that are not being used. It added at $4.5 billion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, did anybody report on this? Did you hear this? Was this a hot topic? No, right? But these are little things. If you are an investor, I own Southwest Airlines stocks. Every now and then, I peek my head around the corner. I may pick my head around the corner and see if everything is in good standing. This is when it's tell you when it's time to sell something or when it's time to buy something. So when you're on your watch list, when nothing is going on in the market, when the market seems cool and you're wondering what your next step is going to be, what you're going to do is you want to be reactive. I'm sorry about that. You want to be proactive instead of reactive. So right now, if you know you're following the company, you're following the 8K reports, the 10K reports, you're following all of the raw data that the company is putting out on their investor relations, on their website, now you know when the market takes a downturn or anything like that, you know exactly what you want to buy. You're going to be, you're already proactive. While everybody's just saying, oh my God, what's going on? You just walk through the storm and say, hey, let me get $500 worth of Southwest. You want to buy? Yes, because you know exactly because you've done your research. This is how you're doing your research. So the company eliminates $1.7 billion, right? They took out this loan, I think, on June 8th with Wells Fargo. And J.P. Morgan was the middleman or the facilitator of this loan. And pretty much they gave up 148 of the aircrafts, things like that to be able to secure this loan. And they was able to secure this loan. Now they're terminating it, and they're telling you, also, this is putting money back into their pocket because they released this as collateral, because if they couldn't pay that loan back, they could have lost 148 aircrafts, right? Everybody knows it's no secret that airlines are stuck right now and having a hard time because of what's going on. Now, Prince, people may say, Prince, why is this important? Why is this important? I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Let me stop sharing my screen here. Oh, so what's Mr. Turner says, what's up, Prince? Hey, what's going on, Mr. Turner? Thank you for tuning in. Now, why is this important? I like to take a look. I only invest into companies most of the time. Sometimes I break my cardinal rule. I'm becoming more disciplined. Y'all work with me. I only invest into companies that are the top one or two in your industry. Let's take the military chart for all of my veterans out there, for people that are not military. Use your chain of command at your job. You know, at your job, you got a CEO. You got your executives, vice president, you got your department, and all the way down to the common everyday person on the cash register, right? So if something goes bad in that company, who is the first person or who gets hit the worst financially? Who gets hit the worst? Who suffers the most? The people at the bottom. In the military, if you take it all the way from your top ranking officer to your lowest ranking enlisted person, if something goes bad in the military, somebody has to have bad conditioning. Guess who's going to have it the worst? The person at the bottom. So guess what? Every sector has a chain of command. For prime example, every sector has, you got the technology sector. Apple is at the top all the way to whoever is at the bottom. You have the soft drink arena, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, then everybody else. Then you have maybe restaurants, where it may be McDonald's and everybody else. You guys catch my drift? When it comes down to shoes, it may be Nike and everybody else, right? If something happens within the shoe industry, everybody starts to run and panic. Something happens in the shoe industry. Guess who's going to catch it worse? The people at the bottom. That's why I always look at your sector and I go to the top. Who's at the top? So because if the person at the top catches a cold, the people at the bottom are going to catch a flu. So why is this important? Let's take a look at what American Airlines is doing. American Airlines seeks $1.7 billion. When I first saw this, I said, why is American Airlines seeking $1.7 billion? I thought the airline industry just got bailed out. Why they want so much more money? But American Airlines, according to their, we're going to pull up their SEC report, they're going to tell you, this is how you got to follow the soap opera of a company you're investing in. They're going to tell you, hey, we have $4.7 billion on the line due to the bailout, CARES Act, but they haven't, American Airlines hadn't got the money yet because they're still trying to do their negotiations, right? So while they're working and negotiating, this is how it happens. One second, let me get into you guys and girls' comments. Mr. Turner says, how do you think upcoming earnings reports will affect the market? Upcoming earnings reports will always be a measure of the market because the most powerful thing of a company, if you give somebody your company, the most powerful thing, the biggest thing an investor is worried about is how much money you are making. If I reached out to you, Mr. Turner, and said, hey, man, I got this big real estate project I'm doing, you're probably going to know how much it's going to cost and how much am I going to make, right? So earnings reports tell you how much are you making. Earnings report justifies a company's stock price. Should it go up? Should it be going up? Should it go down? Earnings is what drives the whole stock market. If companies are not earnings, guess what's going to happen, right? So earnings are very, are probably the most crucial thing when it comes down to companies, to not companies, but the whole market in general. If Apple is losing money and not making money, how can I justify this price? Because the stock market is a leading indicator. Guys, girls got to remember that. It doesn't go by what's happening today. It's a leading indicator of what is coming. So when they see companies are doing well, companies are making profits, companies' profits are growing, companies are hiring more people, stuff like that, that's what makes the market uptick. When they see companies laying people off and losing money and things like that, that's what makes the market fall, right? So that's why you're seeing NASDAQ companies like the NASDAQ index has been going doing pretty well lately because it's following mostly the big tech companies. The big tech companies, Amazon, Facebook, the cybersecurity companies are tied up in there. Because guess what? These technology companies, guess who's thriving in this era? Facebook hasn't missed a lick. With all of the civil unrest, everybody's getting their information probably from some form of social media. Guess who owns social media? Google owns YouTube. Facebook owns Instagram. So majority of the information that we're getting in these videos that get circulating around, most people are watching the news off of Facebook. So guess what? Facebook is getting more users. They're getting more engagement. They're getting new users. So they are thriving in this world. If look at Amazon. Amazon e-commerce, they are dominating. Why? Because people are not going to the store like that anymore, right? So you got to look at some people like a Google. Google is the internet, right? How can they not profit in this environment? So that's why you see a lot of tech companies experiencing even more growth. But yes, but it has to be backed up by earnings. How much money are you making? Titus Wilson, what's going on, my man? He says, what's up, Prince? Dropping by. I catch it later on YouTube. All right, Titus. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Hey, Corey. Corey from Mississippi. Corey Touchstone. All right. All right. What's going on, Corey? So, ladies and gentlemen, American Airlines, if you look at, I'm going to teach you guys and girls how to fish. I don't want you to sit back and say, well, some wacky, tacky dude I heard over a podcast, a YouTube channel, he said this. No, I want to pull it up for you guys and girls to be able to see yourself. Right here it is. It's a press release to the SEC, American Airlines. Now this did run on the people did talk about this in the media today, but it says June 21st, Sunday, American Airlines, right? Fort Worth, Texas. That's where American Airlines is headquartered. They're telling you right here, they're issuing 750 million shares due in 2025 for, they're trying to get $105 billion and another $500 million, right? Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Bank of America, JP Morgan are the officiators for this, and they have a 30-day option. So they're looking, they didn't put out exactly what they was looking for, these convertible notes, but they'll tell you down here, let me see what it's on one of these reports here. I have it pulled up, but I don't want to file all the way through these things, but they tell you, hey, we're asking for this because they gave a side note and said, hey, we're in the works of getting our bailout, but we haven't got our bailout yet, right? And if you got even more questions right here, you got investor relations. You can hit them up with your questions. Hey, I see American Airlines said this, that. Can you interpret the report? All of the good stuff like that. If you had questions. I don't know if they do that just for media people, but hey, it's worth a try. Why are you talking about this, Prince? How is this relevant? As an investor, this is what investors are plowing through every day. So they are being proactive. They know what's going on with the company. They stay current with the company. This is where their money is going. Hedge fund. This is big, smart money where it's going. They stay current of a company. I'm not saying you got to wake up every day and know every single company, but this is something you could be doing while the market is down or moving sideways. Some people just twiddling their thumbs. Oh, man, the market didn't. It went sideways today. Twiddling their thumbs. Oh, you know, nothing big happened. They waiting. Then when the market crashes, they're trying to find what to buy and who to buy and whatnot. But if you stay current and you keep putting this in your brain and your knowledge, as soon as you see a price drop or as soon as something goes crazy, boom, you know what to buy. Boom, you know what to sell. Boom, you know you already know what you want. Somebody commented and said, Prince, I don't have the money, man. I'm broke. I don't really have the funds right now. Maybe later on. Guess what? This is what you're filling your brain with. This is money. This is a currency here itself. Not all currency is cash. Sometimes, let's call it a mental currency. You already know. So one day when your money does get right and you get back on your feet, you got whatever you got, you know it. Boom, you know exactly what you want. Right? Now, why is this important? When I looked at Southwest Airlines, when I heard that Southwest Airlines were paying, I had to turn in and see what was going on. I wanted to see, not Southwest Airlines, but when I saw American Airlines was looking for $1.7 billion, I said, let's see what Southwest Airlines is doing. That's how I found out with Southwest Airlines. That's why it's very important to follow your companies. Right? Guys and girls are catching this live, hit the thumbs up button, share button, all that other good stuff. Right? Number three. American Airlines cut ties with Intel. This was announced today. Steve Jobs said this, and not Steve Jobs, I mean Mr. Tim Cook. Tim Cook said this at a meeting today. CNBC put this out. Wasn't an official report, but they're saying that something I always kind of thought of, Apple is cutting ties with Intel. They're going to make their own chips. You know, everybody knows Intel makes chips. And I used to, you know, I made a couple cover calls on Intel, great company. But this is not good. This is why it's not good, ladies and gentlemen. And why am I even talking about this? This is not to gossip. It's everything I talk about has an underline to it to help you become a better investor. See, I tell people, you guys would DM me and say, hey, Prince, I'm looking at this company. This company's making a bunch of money and it's doing great. I said, awesome. Y'all remember when I told you about Facebook? What was my thing that I didn't like about Facebook, if you're catching this live? Think about it. What Prince said, what was the Facebook had no debt, it had a pile of cash, but what was my big issue I had with Facebook? See if you guys and girls know that. And when y'all heard me say this, y'all were like, oh, wow, I didn't think about it that way. My big issue with Facebook, when I look at the 10K report, when I look at the 10Q report, not only do I look at the revenue, but I look at the sources of revenue. Think about it, right? Let's take a personal person. Take Prince Dykes. He makes all of his money off of YouTube. That's his livelihood, right? All his money comes off of YouTube. Wouldn't that tell you, hey, you know what? If something happened to YouTube, what would happen to Prince Dykes, right? That's the same way I look at a company. Facebook makes over 90% of his revenue from advertising. Pretty much all of his revenue is coming from advertising, right? Advertising on Facebook, great, making a bunch of money. But I always thought if something went crazy and their advertising revenue got disrupted, it's going to be bad news, horrible news for Facebook. For prime example, look at the companies Uber versus Lyft. How does Lyft make money? Lyft makes his money simple and easy through rides. How does Uber make his money? Uber makes his money through rides. It also makes his money through Uber Eats. And it also makes money through Uber Freights, right? So guess what? When the COVID-19 started to kick out and the pandemic started to go around the world, nobody was riding around like that. Guess what? Guess what Uber did? Uber Eats jumped off. Uber Eats became very big because it had another source of revenue. Take me, for example. I get in probation at YouTube. Doesn't really matter to me because guess what? I got Facebook. I got so many. My podcast is broadcasted around so many different platforms. I'm on Instagram, I'm on this, I'm on that. I got my own website. So guess what? Then on Facebook, I have several pages on Facebook, right? So ladies and gentlemen, this is why it's important to look at someone's revenue stream. So Apple, Intel could have been, the biggest supplier could have been Apple, right? But guess what happened? Apple wakes up one day and said, well, we're going to make our own chips. We don't need to buy your chips anymore. We're going to make our own. Great news for Apple. horrible for Intel because I don't know how much of their revenue was coming from Apple. Say if 90% of their revenue was coming from Apple. As an investor, that's very scary. I'm telling you guys and girls this because when you're looking at revenue, look at sources of revenue. Where is this revenue coming from? Where is the bulk of revenue coming from? What if that revenue gets disrupted? What's going to happen to this particular company? Just like in your house, if your livelihood is based off of being a trash man, you got to ask yourself, well, I work for waste management as a trash man. What happens if I get laid off or I lose my job or whatever? What is my backup, right? To all of my military veterans, we know that. All military veterans don't do 20 years and retire. Some people do 5 years, 4 years, or whatnot. What they always tell you, create your backup plan. Go to school. Earn certifications. Build a network. Think about your second life. You can't be in the military forever. Basketball athletes, you're in that same field. So just like you like to think of your backup and your revenue, look up the revenue sources of your companies because something like Apple, when the CEO comes out and says, you know what, we're not going to buy chips from them anymore. So look at the sources of revenue. Who are their customers? Right now, who are their biggest customers? What is they sell cybersecurity to all these companies. Do they just sell to the government? What if they lost that government contract, right? So I have to compare and contrast. When I look at Lyft, it is a one-trick pony. It only makes money through rides. Uber has three ways. So guess what? That's a competitive advantage. Just do down to revenue sources. And this right here, ladies and gentlemen, is why. Apple cuts ties with Intel. Announced by CNBC why the CEO, Tim Cook, was at some conference. All right, let me see if you guys and girls saying something live here. Okay. Titus Wilson says, but then you always hear it's baked in. So wouldn't everything be baked in? When you say the word baked in, everything's baked in, ladies and gentlemen. This is someone who has an effective market hypothesis. Effective market hypothesis means someone who thinks there's no edge, there's nothing out there or whatnot. I don't believe everything's baked in. I like to look at companies. I like to stay current. I like to see how does the stock move? Okay, airlines are moving down, but who's really doing good? Okay, this company is running up. Tesla's running up. So why is it running up? Microsoft is running down. Why is it running down? But you're telling your own story. You're sticking with the fundamentals. The game may change, but the fundamentals stay the same. In football, they got all these rules and this, and basketball, NBA, soccer got all these different rules and this type of rules. Soccer, you're going to kick the ball into the goal. That's the ultimate goal. Basketball, put the ball in the hoop. Football, American football at least, get the ball into the end zone. Play defense. Don't let the other team get the ball into the end zone. So you keep watching the fundamentals, and maybe you might find a time when the market has got it wrong. Because I don't believe the market is 100% effective. I believe it's mostly efficient. I mean, it's not effective, but efficient. So I think if you keep doing your research, you can find where somebody else is not talking about it. Nobody's talking about cybersecurity. Nobody, right? Nobody, ooh, what is this? Nobody's talking about cybersecurity. You might be able to find a nugget in cybersecurity if you do the research. Waste management. Nobody's talking about waste management. Or somebody who's taking your trash back and forth. You do your research inside of the waste management field, you might find a nugget, right? So I think that everything is not automatically baked in. Zachary, what's going on in Maryland? Maryland's in the house. Okay, got it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the last topic of today. Pending home sales dropped 21%, according to the realtors. I don't want to make sure I butcher their name. They are the National Association of Realtors. They put out a monthly report that I'm going to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, that are catching this live. They put out a report today that said pending home sales have dropped 21.8%. I didn't want to put the 0.8 in the title, but right here, ladies and gentlemen, just put it out today. They said this was brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. Home sales decreased in April, making two straight months of declines, according to the National Reports of Realtors. Every major region experienced a drop in a month-over-month contract activity and a decline in a year-over-year pending home sales transactions. So what the National Association of Realtors, the NAR, what they actually do, when you have a house, you know, take me for example, I have a house up on the contract. Okay, boom, I have a house on a contract. They pay attention to that and they create data. Are people putting more houses on the contract or less houses going on the contract? It's pretty simple and easy. Homes that are waiting to be sold, are just looking good or looking bad, right? It's a forward-looking indicator. Let's read a little bit more. The pending home sale index, the PHSI, is a forward-looking indicator of home sales based on contract signing. It fell 21.8% to 69 in April. Year-over-year contract signing shrunk to 33%. An index of 100 is equal to the level of activity back in 2001. So when the market was hot, you know, 100 is a hot market like it was 2000. And they're saying now we fell down to 69%. Now, let's see what they got to say. Let's see what they got to say, the chief economist. He says, with all the states under a stay-at-home orders in April, it is not a surprise to see the marketability, the market reduce activity in signing contracts to home purchases. So they're kind of blaming it on, hey, you know, people wasn't really buying that many homes because you got the COVID-19 going on. So all of the good stuff. When you go to tour homes, not too many people want you to come in their house. All of the good stuff like that. That's why. The latest pending homes, home sales numbers reveal the greatest decline in the NAR began taking such in 2001. So this is the greatest decline. Wow, it's even beat 2008. However, Yon thinks that April is the lowest point of contacts of, and the month of May consequently would be the lowest of the closed sales. So right now they're saying that houses won't be, they think that since April had the lowest contract signings, pending home sales. When you are pending to purchase a home, for my people that already purchased homes, you know, you make an offer, and if the seller agrees to it, you guys go up on the contract. Guys or girls go up on the contract. This is what they're doing. And a home usually takes somewhere between 30 to 45 days to close. So if pending home sales dropped in April, that means closing home sales in May are going to drop as well. But they're believing this is at the bottom, and they think that we're going to spring up because of, you know, things are starting to open back up. People are coming outside more. Obviously, they're coming outside. You can see the civil unrest around the nation. But this is very important to pay attention to because this is a report that's kind of giving you an idea of what's going on in real estate to make you a better and sharper investor, right? So with that being said, this is not a surprise. In April, pending home sales declined. More people was at home. More people did less home viewings and things like that. So I don't think the market is going to be down long enough for real estate to be affected this time around. In March, that was the fastest drop in stocks that we had ever seen in the history of stocks falling. And when stocks fell that fast, you can see we had a nice little rebound here. People are worried about if we're going to go down again, but we haven't so far. So I don't think real estate is going to be able to catch this. If we stay into this situation a little bit longer or whatever, I think more people have coronavirus than we realize because testing and whatnot. If we stay in this place a little bit longer, yes, you're going to see a decline in real estate. Right? But the government has been standing by. They put out, if you have a government loan, somebody with a government loan, they can't foreclose on their home because they got these debarrencies where they're letting people push off their mortgages. So, you know, they're kind of stepping in. The federal government is coming in with assistance. I tell everybody all the time, the government is built for four people: married, homeowners, landowners, business people, stock owners. That's what America makes monetary policies for. You get married, you get benefits, you own land or you own a home, you get benefits, you got all this first-time owners credit, and you get, you know, hey, guess what? If you're a renter, nobody's really caring about the renter, but hey, you can't lose your home due to COVID-19. Three, look at businesses. Look at, they came out with the PPP plan. And then four, look at, what was the fourth thing? Real estate, home, marriage, real estate, home, business. I think that's, and hopefully I'm not missing that one. It's not like I'm missing one. But business, look at the PPP loan, the PayPal protection plans. Not PayPal, but payroll protection plans, right? That's how we look at it. Devon Queen says, hey, late better than never. No problem, man. Thank you for checking in. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode, but we're going to go over and do a quick recap. We're going to do a quick recap. We talked about Southwest Airlines paying $1.7 billion and why it was important to investors. Why was it important to investors? Let me take my screen down. Why was it important to investors? Because investors can pay attention to this if you follow the SEC reports. This was released last week on an 8K report that Southwest Airlines repaid $1.7 billion in debt. I like companies that are paying this debt. And it freed up 148 aircraft, which was equivalent to $4.5 billion going back into their pockets. Also, American Airlines, on the flip side, American Airlines, they haven't received their bailout yet, and they're seeking for other ways to raise money. They're currently seeking about $1.7 billion that they're trying to seek right now by selling secured loans and taking loans, all the good stuff to get through the COVID-19. Another one, why is that important? When I see the small guy in the industry have problems, I wonder what the big guy is doing, right? I see the American Airlines are doing this. What is Southwest doing? American Airlines is looking for money. Southwest is kind of closing out deals. I like that. I'm an investor in Southwest. You know, now you got Apple. Apple cuts ties with Intel. Why is this important? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a classic example of knowing the sources of revenue of a company. This company's making money, but where's this money coming from? Because if they lose that big source, what's going to happen to your investment? It's a big issue that I had with Facebook. Facebook makes 90% of its money from advertising here on Facebook. And I always thought to myself, what if advertising dries up or gets bad? What's going to happen, right? I think I stepped on one of my lights. Hey, here we go. We're back. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the next thing, pending home sales drop, which shouldn't have been a very surprising thing due to the stay-at-home orders that we had in April. Pending homes are when people put homes up on the contracts. So the buyer and the seller agrees on a price. They go up on the contract. They've seen a 30% drop in homes. No, 21% drop. And people signing contracts, but they attribute that to homes being sold. People staying at home and, you know, not having jobs, uncertain of the economy. Now, that means in May, when the report comes out in May, that's going to be less homes that's going to be closed. Because if people wasn't putting them on the contract in April, how would they close them in May? Because that's how it goes. It takes about 30 to 45 days to close on a house, right? So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's topic and episode. And I will see you guys and girls later. My name is Prince Dykes. This is The Investor Show. And into the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out.